Welcome to the podcast Benzo Tired. I'm your host, Neftel Benesty, and I'm Dutch. Join me on my journey into the world of benzodiazepines, withdrawal, bind, and more. Disclaimer, always consult your physician for medical advice. This is episode 39, Let's Talk Tinnitus, with Emma Saunders from beatingthebenzo.com. And today, it's May 13th, 2024. This episode is dedicated to François Chappé. Hi, everyone. Right. Welcome to the show, Benzo Tired, with my good friend Emma Saunders. Today, we are talking about tinnitus or tinnitus. Both are correct. We did an episode way back, episode 3, where we touch on our tinnitus a bit. But in this episode, we really want to tackle the concept of tinnitus in general, but also in benzo withdrawal. So if you've listened to episode 3, you will hear that Emma Saunders got COVID-19, and then she had tinnitus. And for me, it was Lyme and or the antibiotics treatment that I received. So the first question for you, Emma, is when you had your tinnitus and you went to your GP, how did he treat your condition?
So I said that I had really loud ringing in my ears and it had happened pretty much overnight for me. I had some strange things with COVID a few months before where I felt like I had water in my ears. But apart from that, I didn't have any kind of lead up. So I just said that to the doctor. I said, you know, this has just happened. And he was like, oh, you probably just need to get a good night's sleep and the tinnitus will go away. So he was very, very dismissive of it. And yeah, mine is really bad. It's on the severe end of the tinnitus scale, which obviously I found out months later. But at the time, yeah, this doctor was just like, oh, just, you know, I think just go to sleep and take this pill.
Yes. Terrible, terrible. And what I find fascinating about the whole tinnitus thing, which, you know, for me as well, led to the prescription of benzodiazepines, is that, you know, doctors evidently don't understand the benzodiazepine injury, but they also don't understand severe tinnitus. Like, they don't take you seriously. Mm-hmm. They don't refer you to where you need to be. If there is any place where you can be, that's something that I want to touch on later on this episode. For me, my GP was also dismissive, but he basically told me, yeah, you're just going to have to learn how to live with that. I was like, I can't. I haven't slept in 2 months. This is like dominating my life, you know, and I just did not feel like he was taking me seriously. So kind of in my story, I get the benzo prescribed and I have to like ask him to a referral to a mouth and a throat doctor. It turns out it was a neurologist at first, but I had to wait for a month. So I was on benzos for months, kind of like, I don't want to be on this pill. It doesn't really work for sleep anyways, but I need to get this tinnitus fixed. I mean, I'm not really sure how your experience was and or is with tinnitus, but for me in the beginning stage of this, it felt like my whole body was like neurologically kind of messed up. Like I was in panic. I'd never had that before. The uncertainty of the noise, but it was basically dominating my every single day. Like I would be so loaded with panic and then I would eventually fall asleep and I would wake up 2 hours later and I couldn't, and then I'd be so exhausted again, staying awake. And this day after day after day, totally soul crushing. How about you?
Yes. Well, when I first got it, it was really alarming because I was like, oh my God, this sound. And I even tried to sleep. I mean, to be fair, I was getting broken sleep, but it was, for me, the worry was like, when is this going to go? And how am I going to live with it? And like you said, with the doctor saying, well, you're just going to have to learn to get used to it. It's just a very, very like blunt way of saying something. It's like, I've just had like an alarm go off in my head and it's not turning off. And it's like, why are you not taking that seriously? I do, you know, when we speak about this kind of stuff, I just think doctors, like, what is the use in them? Like you go to the doctor for things like this and you're met with such dismissal. It's like, wow. Because I mean, tinnitus or tinnitus, I never know which
Both
way to say
correct,
it, but it's so common as well. It's such a common thing. And I ended up having to do the, you know, the usual thing of Googling and finding things online and being like, okay, well, how do I get through this? But again, it was, I didn't get any information. And I think the doctor just completely misled me into thinking that it obviously was just something I was going to have to get used to, which actually for me made it worse. Because I think I then thought, well, why am I so worried about this? Why am I experiencing, like you say, this panic? Because I had that as well. Like, as the days went on, I would be like, oh my God, it's still here. Like, how am I going to deal with this? And then it became this kind of like constant worry I had.
Yeah. And in terms of the severity of your tinnitus, how did you discover the severity, like hurts or whatever? Where did you find that out?
So it had been 6 months of taking the lorazepam at this point, and the COVID had kind of loosened off. So I came back to London, and I basically, this is when I just stopped taking the lorazepam. The doctor was like, oh yeah, you can stop it now. So I stopped it, came back to London, and I had a week where I actually felt kind of like, okay. And in that week I had planned already, immediately when I got back, I went to see this specialist, this ENT specialist, which is what I initially went to this particular doctor for, because he was a private doctor in Sloane Square. I thought, well, surely he's going to refer me to an ENT, you know, an ear, nose and throat doctor to have a look. Anyway, actually, randomly, my acting agent, I was emailing her and telling her that I had tinnitus. And she was saying, oh, one of our, my assistants actually got tinnitus from COVID. And she's got this amazing woman that she went to in Kensington. So I got her details. Obviously, she was like £500 for a session. But I went along and they did all these tests, and they tested all my tubes, and I did hearing tests. I did all these really in-depth things. And they were like, oh, so actually, yeah, you have really bad tinnitus because your eustachian tube actually doesn't work. So the tube from your nose, I think it's your nose to your ear. Was it from your mouth to your ear? I don't know. I mean, I looked at it for months, but I can't remember. The eustachian tube, it's called. And it's called eustachian tube dysfunction, where it doesn't work. And basically it makes, yeah, you can hear everything in your head, basically. Like, I mean, my head kind of sounds like a wire circuit most of the time. And yeah, so they were like, yeah, you've got severe, you've got it severe.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, what we can do is we can try steroids, like these drops. So they gave me these drops to put, I think, up my nose. But she said, to be honest with you, this probably, you know, she was like, you can give this a go. But she said, it's one of those things that once, when you've got it, I mean, she was honest with me, and it was nice to be able to talk about it with somebody who, you know, was taking it seriously. But she was just like, yeah, when you've got it, you kind of got to get used to it and do exercises to get used to it. Or you can have an operation on your sinuses. And I was like,
right.
I don't really want to have an operation. And she also said the operation might not work. And so, yeah, but it was good to know that I did actually have an issue.
Right. I think it's so important. So there's so many kind of like, you know, similarities, in my opinion, going through the benzoyl harm kind of journey as well, where you want that validation. And for me, I was in the state waiting for help for months. And then I end up at a neurologist. And I think, because this is back in 2016 or 2017. And also, this is very important, what I didn't know once I started to take my benzodiazepine, the first one, lormetazepam, that I was taking every day as prescribed, my tinnitus got worse. It got so loud. Mm-hmm. And I got hyperacusis. Sound started to hurt. And I was like, wow, my tinnitus is really ramping up. Anyways, I end up in a hospital at an ENT, a mouth and throat doctor. And it was just... First, the silly thing is, and I still kind of get pissed at this process, they kind of want to, I guess, I don't know, I'd love your opinion, but they, with me, they wanted to test if I have hearing loss, because lots of times when people get tinnitus, they associate that with hearing loss. And I told them my hearing is fine. I do not have hearing loss, but they go through the motions. I had to do this beep test, and it turned out like I was like 33 at the time. And they said, wow, your hearing is really good. You have like the hearing of a 20-year-old or something like that. Oh, that's amazing. Great. But I have this noise. That's the problem. And I remember that I was sitting down in this hospital with a nurse, and she had this, I think it was kind of like an old school computer. And she did ask me, like, do you have a beep or a click or this or that? And I was like, oh, I have a beep. And she was like, okay, I'm going to like do a sound test with you. And they were going up and up and up with the hertz. And she got to 8,000. I'm like, I think maybe this is the one, but maybe you could go higher. And this, she was like, this is the highest our equipment will actually produce. And I was like, whoa, I have a really, really loud, high, you know, tinnitus. So at least it was validation. But I think also what you just said before, I think it's very important that we do, that people tell you that tinnitus is most likely permanent. Because I've met a lot of people on this journey also that, you know, suffered from tinnitus. And after years, I went to therapy specifically for people with tinnitus, which I would like to touch on later on. But people are just desperate to get rid of it. I was desperate to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And if someone just would have told me, like, I'm sorry, but there's no getting rid of it, probably. There's other things that you are going to need to do with your current lifestyle to, you know, deal with it. But there's, for me, there was like this tiny bit of hope, like maybe there is an operation, maybe there is this cure, maybe there is a supplement. I just wish that someone told me, like, I'm sorry, but this is probably permanent. Straight up, up front.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's so interesting to hear. And yeah, if someone was to say, look, this could potentially be permanent, but the trick is to get your brain to not react to the sound. If someone had kind of broken it down for me and I'd been like, okay, and they're like, this is completely possible, you can do this, but it's just a process. Because then that is what I experienced, is that my brain, well, obviously then I had benzo withdrawal, which was like 10 times, maybe a billion times worse than tinnitus. So then the perspective of that almost made the tinnitus go into the back of my mind, and it was like the last thing I was thinking about. But obviously, ideally, you don't want to go through benzo withdrawal for that to happen.
100%.
But what I was reading online was people were getting used to the sound, and yeah, it's a process. It's a process. But
yeah, and I think
the doctor had told me that.
Yeah, they need protocols for tinnitus where they say, okay, well, I'm not really educated on this, on how to treat it or give you therapy so that you can learn to get used to it. Because it is true, you have to learn how to live with it. But I was like, give me the tools to learn how to live with it. And I think if I would have met you, for example, which couldn't happen because I got it before, but if I would just find someone with lived experience, kind of like with benzos, and be like, okay, there is a way out of this.
This is what you
I've
need
been
to
there.
Do. Yeah.
Yes. And for me, the, you know, with the gift of hindsight, the answer for me would have been calling in sick at work or quitting my job, because I just wanted to keep everything. I wanted to keep the show on the road. Like, I need to sleep, because I need to work, I need to do this. And someone would have just needed to say to me, like, you can't do it all right now. Your nervous system, the tinnitus is, you know, it's such a massive hit on your nervous system. You need to rest, calm down, find sleep in a natural way, whatever you need to achieve that, which for you, evidently your work is like stressing you out because you need to be there. Maybe this is going to be hard to hear for you, but maybe you need to take a break from work. And now obviously for everyone, it's there's something different that they need, that this individual holistic approach. But again, the dismissiveness of this was very hurtful. And then I'm not really sure if you had the same, but for me in the beginning, I would like say to people, like, I'm not okay, I'm on sleeping pills, it's not working, the noise, it's driving me nuts. Oh, I have a friend who has tinnitus, she or he is perfectly fine with it. Also, my surroundings were kind of dismissive as well. Like, oh, I know someone who has tinnitus, or I have tinnitus a little bit. And I was like, but I am like struggling so much. Like, is it just me then? Did you have the same?
Yes, I know. Yeah, completely. Like, oh, it was one of those things again, where you just want to talk to somebody who gets it. And the only place I could go to was YouTube. again. Like, and that's actually where I found all the benzo stuff. Like, I found a few people talking about tinnitus and how they got through it and how, and that's how I found a guy called Julian who does like cranial sacral therapy and yeah, like, and different, Joey Remini was another one that I found that she talks about tinnitus as well. So yeah, YouTube was the place to go. It makes me realize actually it's quite a kind of platform, you know, when you're just like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, my dad was like, well, I've got tinnitus and it's fine. And it's like, oh, dad, he's just one of those people that can't see outside his own experience. I mean, right. A lot of people are like that, but I was like, yeah, dad, but you know, my tinnitus might be different to yours. I think he's got very mild tinnitus that comes and goes, but he couldn't quite fathom the fact that I had like pretty, pretty bad tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just another, yeah, quite clear. My family have always been people who just don't take anything that's going on with me seriously. So it was just another shining light.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I think with the gift of hindsight, like knowing so much, like we nearly died. So there's lots of life lessons that we learned through this benzo harm and everything. I think I would have just said, look, I have severe tinnitus, but I'm also severely suffering in the now. I need some help. Maybe I would have been more specific. Like, I am suffering. Acknowledge my suffering, which I just felt like everyone was ignoring, you know, except for maybe my partner, Frank. So in my personal journey with this whole tinnitus thing, and then we're going to move slowly towards the benzo stuff. It takes me 5 years to find a clinic in this country, in the Netherlands, that specializes in tinnitus. And this is, I am super high on my dose on benzos. I am super tired. I am barely coming up out of from the couch. It's just a really, really bad time. And I find this place and I get in there and I actually learn about the science of tinnitus and also how it kind of works on your nervous system, how sleep is affected, your cognitive functions. And meeting these other people in this sort of like course about learning about tinnitus, and all these people had just recently contracted it. And I noticed the panic that they were having. I was like, I remember that. I remember being in that state and being like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I can't sleep and I can't do this. And like, oh, I think I've gotten used to my tinnitus by now. But I think one of the recommendations, I guess I'd say, is find people with lived experience with that have suffered severe tinnitus. And it's like the same thing with benzos, like get the right people to help you. GPs, and I'm going to have to agree with you, Emma, on many kind of levels, they suck. They're useless. They're making it worse.
Yeah.
So then we get to the benzodiazepines. Now, I will add a link, but it's basically on Wikipedia of all things. I just can't believe I'm saying it. Benzodiazepines are known to cause tinnitus, sensitivity to sounds, and that sound can hurt. So opinions, Emma.
So benzodiazepines, yeah. I mean, well, it's on Wikipedia. It's there. It's like you don't really have to look too far. And actually, it's on the benzodiazepine side effect list as well. Yeah, like just even if you Google the benzodiazepine, it's like, oh, side effects, tinnitus. And you're like, what? And throughout my time on it, my tinnitus got way worse. Obviously, I was polydrugged on other drugs, which made it way worse. I mean, my tinnitus just went up like decibels. Even I couldn't even, like, it was just like a, like the whole time. And yeah, so it's crazy. I got the I can't pronounce that.
Hyperacusis. Yeah, sensitive. That it hurts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sound hurts.
That it hurts. And sometimes I would get it with like noises, especially cars braking, like the very high pitched sounds of a car brake would like literally pierce my brain. And just all sorts of sensitivity to sound, which got really bad in the withdrawal. I mean, oh my God, I couldn't even like be outside.
Yeah. It was terrible. It was terrible. In my withdrawal, it just literally exploded. You know, I cold turkeyed, reinstated on a way too low dose. Long story, but I had just received this training for the tinnitus, and I had cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get off of these drugs. But the tinnitus that I then got in withdrawal was otherworldly. It was painful. Mm. It was like my whole head was just ringing. It was excruciating. Mm. Like so many things of benzo withdrawal can be excruciating, but that tinnitus, like I think I'm pretty trained and I think I can handle it. I think for me, the plus of this, like all of the countless million symptoms that I've had, including almost dying, kind of a symptom, death. I think the plus that I will say is because I had the cognitive behavioral therapy and for tinnitus and stuff, I was like, okay, to counter the tinnitus, the best way to go about tinnitus is to calm down. But then again, in benzo withdrawal. So I tried not to like see it as the enemy or as a threat. I'm like, okay, it's just tinnitus. It'll go away. This extreme version of it. Mm-hmm. But in benzo withdrawal, like your system is entirely haywire. So how are you supposed to calm the fuck down in benzo withdrawal, mm-hmm, when it's just impossible to do so? And then the ringing and everything. I would say that if someone comes in with severe tinnitus, I don't think people should be allowed in that scenario to be given benzodiazepines. It's like, it causes it. So why would you prescribe, mm-hmm, it? You know, like, oh, yeah, I've got, you know, condition A. Oh, I'll give you pill B. It gives you condition A worse. What the fuck?
Well, it just shows, doesn't it? It just shows that the doctor hasn't even hasn't ever looked at what the drug does. They've never looked at the side effects. They've obviously had absolutely no training on it. Like, that's the kind of thing that you would hope a doctor would remember if they're going to be giving out these medications. Like, that's what's so shocking with the whole doctor thing. It's just, if I really think about it, how bizarre a doctor actually is.
Yeah.
Because they're not usually people who are very like personable or friendly. They're quite kind of like clinical, and you know, they will never say like, well, how are you? They're very just sort of black and white, like, okay, here's medication. Bye.
Yes. Yes. And I'm so, really, yeah, lots of these doctors suck, and my initial prescriber, he's an asshole and I'm suing his ass, but I think for me he was just very dismissive and also just hilarious in like a bad way, because I remember I hadn't slept in 2 months, or very broken, like you were having, very broken. I was very tired. I'd never had an insomnia like that until, you know, later on, benzo withdrawal, no sleep at all. But I went to the drugstore first to get some maybe herbs, because I would prefer something natural over something chemical. But after 2 months, I was like, oh, I'm so exhausted. And he actually had this like small house plant on his desk. And he said, well, maybe you should just look at a plant before you go to sleep. I'm like, what? What? That is not advice. That is not like, seriously?
Wow.
Look at a plant? No, and I can't believe that he just, what I really blame him for, and it's very much in how we see doctors, I guess, because of our experiences, like, why do they not look in their little Rolodex of like, hey, maybe a mouth and throat doctor would be a good kind of solution for this, or maybe some alternative therapy or something. Mm-hmm. Not lorazepam, not a benzodiazepine, not a lormetan, not benzos. I know.
And also the fact that, like, you know, if you get tinnitus and you're having broken sleep and you're in panic, you know, you're in that place of panic, like, okay, the person obviously is just going to have to be in that place of panic. I think there's this whole kind of like, oh, let's just take it away with a pill, this immediate fix. Whereas actually, to truly, like, what should have happened is he should have said, okay, go to an ENT, figure it out. What the problem is, and then have some sort of training program, which are out there to help you what's called habituating to your tinnitus, getting used to your tinnitus, going on that program and following that and just doing it completely naturally. No medical intervention. I think doctors are just so quick to prescribe. It's bizarre. It's actually bizarre. And prescribe something that ironically was, you know, caused us, almost killed us, and then made it 10 times worse.
Yeah, truly. I regret the day. I mean, obviously, with everything that we know now, we would have not gone to the GP. We would have known where to go or what to do. But there's going to be, unfortunately, so many people. Once upon a time, they're going to listen to this episode and be like, fuck. Because they'll find this because they were harmed by benzos. And maybe because I'm hearing more and more and more people getting prescribed benzodiazepines because of tinnitus. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I've met some people during this therapy, and I'll just share one anecdote as briefly as I can. I met this woman. She's really nice. She's really sweet. She had this really kind of like high profile job, like CEO in insurance company, something, but very kind, very sweet. She was on a quest to get rid of her tinnitus. And I get that. I was there in a way. Anyway, she tried all these things. She ends up in Belgium. They have apparently some sort of special center there as well. They take brain scans. She does learn some things over there, which I will touch on later. I warned her about the benzos, and she was prescribed a benzo for as needed or something. It was like, be really, really careful with that. Because she also suffered from insomnia with the tinnitus. Anyways, long story short, at some point she calls me from Belgium, and she's like, we did this first kind of trajectory. It didn't work. It didn't get rid of my tinnitus. I'm like, okay, you're not going to get rid of it, but okay, you're on your kind of like own little journey here. And then, but she was like, we're now in the chemical trajectory. I'm like, what the fuck is a chemical trajectory? Yeah, I've been prescribed antidepressants and some other drugs, and I sleep really well on them. But I really, really looked if it wasn't a benzo, because I know that that one is bad. I'm like, okay, can you name the list of these things that you've been prescribed? And then at some point she's like, yeah, I'm getting prescribed Rivotril. I'm like, that's clonazepam. That is a benzo. Long story short, she was told that she needed to take that for 2 months as a chemical reset. I call bullshit.
Wow.
So she was kind of instructed to take it every day for 2 months. And then she was going to get some aid into tapering that. Now, we fast forward a little. She gets scared. I'm like, that's clonazepam. Don't take it. Don't take it. And she's like, I'm really scared. I mean, you haven't been on it for long, so most likely your taper will not be that eventful. And then the doctor that was supposed to guide her with the taper, guess what he said to her? Just cut it in half. Just cut it in half, and you'll be fine. You'll be off in a week.
Perfect. Yeah, the old cut it in half, and then you're off.
So that was crazy. And then we actually met for lunch, me and this other guy, like a few weeks later. And she had fallen off the stairs and broken her foot or something because of these drugs. But she did quit all the drugs. So that was, and she survived. So I think I kind of saved her for benzo withdrawal. Although I'm like, you know, it's not, I cannot convey that experience. But it's interesting that if you think that a benzo is going to help you with tinnitus, I'm sorry, but it's not. It will only make it worse. I'm very sorry.
100% worse.
Yeah. So another thing that I would like to touch on. So actually, this lady, who I just mentioned, she went through this test, and she was talking about the nervous system, and she got some education. And I was like, oh, maybe she is on, or this, maybe there is some truth to this. So I'd like to discuss that with you, Emma. She basically told me that because of the tinnitus and somewhat insomnia that comes with it, busy places, there are the stimuli, you have to like kind of keep that in check. And she was like, because of that, I won't be able to attend crowded parties anymore, or I won't be able to do this anymore. And some, because of the tinnitus, some of my cognitive functions may be impaired, not necessarily impaired, but maybe weaker than they were before. And that's an interesting take, because what I've learned, and this is just for me personally, and I have severe tinnitus, y'all. I cannot live my life the way I did before my tinnitus. I cannot go to festivals or loud music, because it will hurt afterwards. So I have to be very careful about my, especially now with the benzo stuff is like a trillion times worse. But how did you experience kind of like before, after tinnitus? But you know, you also got benzos immediately almost. So yeah, it's difficult to say.
What do you mean before and after?
Well, in terms of like, would you be able to go, like, I mean, you are in withdrawal like myself. So could you like go to a really crowded party before your tinnitus? I'm guessing yes. And maybe not so much now, or is it just fine?
Well, actually, I have been out very few occasions, but yeah, like I remember going out for a Christmas kind of concert and there was like a band playing and it was just kind of, well, maybe like even a month after my reinstatement of the benzo and somehow coming back from like absolute hell and God knows how my body was even standing at that point. So yeah, I went to this Christmas kind of concert and I remember being in there and it was really loud and I was like, I should probably not be in here. And I left and my tinnitus was worse, but then it went away. It calmed. It was like, I think those sort of loud spaces aggravate it. So then what I actually got, I've got them in here somewhere actually, but I won't start rooting around, but they are specific, like headphones, little earbuds that you can use, so you can still hear the music,
I think I
but
have them. Are
they,
they called Calmer?
yes,
I
like
have
kind
them
of,
too.
and they basically, yeah, they kind of protect your ear, right? Yeah, so that is what I will wear now if I go to any sort of loud concert, if I remember, because my memory is like a sieve. But yeah, if I can remember, then I will wear those because they, yeah, my tinnitus does get aggravated when I go somewhere loud.
So if
Yeah.
someone would approach you, not benzo related, but like, hey, I've got pretty bad tinnitus, what would you recommend someone?
I would say that I'd be like, everyone's going to dismiss this and not take it seriously because that's what human beings do.
True that.
Unless they've actually been through it themselves. Or, I mean, I did have a couple of friends who were like, Emma, that must be really challenging. And I was like, thank you. Yes, it is. So yeah, but like, you're going to have people who are not going to take it seriously. I'd say to them, doctors probably won't take it seriously. So I'd say find a specialist ENT. Don't go to a doctor. Just go straight direct to the ENT. And then I would say maybe join a program like online, maybe one that resonates with you to learn how to calm and get and learn how to basically train your brain to calm down with your tinnitus because it is possible. I have done it. You've pretty much done it, haven't you? I mean, it's not bothering you as much as it was. So, I mean, I know that you still, you've still got other added issues now because of the
I mean,
benzodiazepine.
that's
So,
the thing. I mean, it's insane, but like nearly dying and being in this parallel state of torture and
yeah.
suffering, it's the makes the tinnitus or tinnitus like nothing in comparison to
Yeah, it
their
really
benzo withdrawal.
does.
It's
Yeah.
like, oh wow, this is just so a trillion times
Yeah.
worse. Once you survive benzo withdrawal, you can survive tinnitus as well.
Yeah.
What would be things that you would like not recommend to someone who was suffering from severe tinnitus, like certain triggers, or you're like, be careful with that.
I would say don't go down the sleeping pill route. So obviously, the first thing is sleep, isn't it, with tinnitus? It's like, how am I going to sleep? This is like, and then you freak out, which I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to sleep again. And obviously you were in that space as well. So I don't know. It's a tricky one because you're kind of desperate, aren't you? You're in that desperate state where you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I mean, obviously, stay away from like benzodiazepines, opioids, I mean, antidepressants. Like, I remember when I met
Alcohol.
this guy called you, alcohol, anything stimulant, smoking, anything to do with your nervous system. Yeah, this guy called Julian, he's online, he's got a tinnitus. I mean, I really, really found his page so useful. Oh
We
my God, I
should
forgot
add
his
that in
name.
the description later on. I'll add it in
Yes, we'll
the
add it in. Yeah, and he talks about things like, clean your diet up, don't have too much sugar, obviously get away from stressful environments, and it depends. If you're really stressed out with your tinnitus, you're gonna have to have a few life changes in order to really kind of combat it and calm your brain and brain's reaction to it. But it is totally possible. And I'll definitely, we could put Joey as well, Joey Remini. She's got a whole program which I bought online and a book about how to basically train your brain to not react to something horrible. I remember she said she lost like sight in one eye or something, and she had tinnitus. She had all these things happen to her, and she trained her brain to not like panic, be in that panic mode. And so now she does that. She does that for a lot of people, and she's got a lot of success stories.
Yeah, I'm totally gonna back you up on this. I totally agree with you. In a way, it's finding people with lived experience, as with benzo withdrawal and or just benzodiazepines, avoid doctors, and because they don't know shit, and they may possibly poison you. So I would go to either a specialist and or someone with lived experience. It's gonna be worth every penny in order to not get where Emma and I have gone. So and
it's so easy, isn't it, to like, because they give you the antidepressants. Like, those are very, 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 well, common. They'll be like, oh, well, just, you know, antidepressants will help you sleep. But they also cause tinnitus.
Yes.
An antidepressant can cause that. So, you know.
In my journey, I remember I had just had my first psychosis. That's always the most fun one, isn't it? When you're like, oh, I've literally lost my shit. Wow, I didn't know I had it in me. Anyways, I reinstate, long story, but I actually end up in this whole long journey of mine. My GP tells me that I need to go and call the hospital where I had been in like 2017 that diagnosed me. I call this hospital and I have like this trainee physician or whatever, and he tells me, oh, I have a lot of success stories prescribing people amitriptyline, which is this try something.
I've heard about that. Yeah,
but it's basically in this, I think, something like an antidepressant. So that also gave me false hope. So it's that just doctors are just so quickly to think, well, I think I may have a pill.
Yeah,
let me help you.
And it's really not. It's really not.
No.
And I've just found his name. It's Julian Cowan Hill. Julian Cowan Hill. And he's got a whole channel on YouTube. And he even has meditations. And I found him incredibly soothing.
Great. We're going to add that in there.
Yeah. But I think the main thing is like knowing that it's going to take time as well for your brain to get used to the sound, and that it's a real process. It's not like an overnight fix, you know? It's like, okay, I need to train my neural pathways to now get used to this sound, which is not like, it's going to take a few months, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, as I'm in this process of writing my book about this whole journey, and tinnitus is a big part of that, obviously, and the benzos. One of the things is like with benzo withdrawal, where GPs or employers or just society doesn't really get it, or just, you know, we don't live in a society mostly where we can say, I have this condition. It's going to take me a few months, maybe even a few years to recover from this. Give me that time. I need that time. And that was one of the factors where I was like, I can't be sick for too long because I need to get back to work. One of the things. And one thing that I do also want to say, and you kind of touched on that as well, where you maybe have to rethink certain parts of your life. And this lady that I mentioned that I met on my journey, I told her, because I had learned these lessons by then, I was like, you might want to reconsider your career. I know that you love your career. It's terrible. If you need to say goodbye to something that you love to do, because I kind of like being a social worker as well. And I kept on doing it on benzos. But so I told her, you may need to reconsider every aspect of your life. And that may include some mourning, kind of like being sad about, but you can get happy again. You know, you will adapt with your new life. There's still so much to live for and enjoy. But at first she was not having it. And later on, when I spoke to her again in this journey, she did quit her job. And so it's very interesting to see that sometimes you really have these major life events happening, and maybe you have to make different choices, even if they're kind of like counterintuitive or whatnot.
You do. Like, you have to have a big kind of rethink. And that's actually what both Julian and Joey say as well. These people who kind of are now doing that with their lives. They went through their own journey with tinnitus. And I think obviously it was very powerful, and they had to go through a whole healing, you know, situation, and now they're using that experience to help others. So,
so if you do, if you're listening and you're not, well, doesn't matter. If you want some support with tinnitus, you can consult Emma. Where can people find you?
Well, yeah, I've started up a support page. It's called Beating the Benzo, obviously because the benzo almost killed me. But obviously this, the root of that was the tinnitus, and that's how I got put on the benzo. And so, yeah, on that page, there is some links there. You can private message me there, and I offer 1-hour sessions at £30. Just to basically, yeah, help people, guide people, because yeah, share lived experience, and I've got plenty of it now.
Yeah. Thank you so much again, Emma, for joining me. You're my team player on Benzo Tired. Like, you have at least half credit to Benzo Tired. So I love you. Thank you so much for coming on. Take care, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the episode. Be well, be safe. Remember, it's not a race, and don't forget to subscribe and rate the show.